Hello, this is Julianne Good, and this is Psych One-on-One. Welcome. We are here to make psychology more understandable with tips for you, your family, and your friends to make your lives easier. And I want to thank my special friend and composer, musician, Nico Schmier, for writing the new intro and outro music. And that was called Downtown Music. And you get to hear a little bit more of his music a little later on the podcast. So thank you, Nico. I really appreciate your help. So tonight, my special guest is Dr. Nadia Jones. We are going to be talking about Latino and Latina mental health. And just a little bit about Dr. Jones. She is a core faculty professor in the MFT program at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in Los Angeles. Dr. Jones is also a bilingual therapist working at Counseling for Kids in Los Angeles. Dr. Jones has extensive experience in counseling children, adolescents, and families in mental health. She also is, her research focuses on the positive parenting program, and she's also highly interested in child and adolescent disorders, family therapy, and cultural issues. Welcome, Dr. Jones. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Well, thank you. I know you're a very busy woman. You have a little one and another little one on the way, and you are...
I know. Yeah, indeed. Another one on the way. 5 months pregnant already.
That's incredible. Good for you.
Thank you.
So,
I know, right? What did I get myself into?
Hey, we do have to ask ourselves, how did this happen? But it's all good in the end, right? It's beautiful.
It's wonderful. It will be changing for the world.
Exactly. Yeah, little ones are great. So how did you get into doing the research and counseling with Latino and Latinas?
Well, I am Latina myself, and I was born in Argentina, and then I moved to Peru, and I moved over there when I was 8 years old, and I studied psychology there. I became a licensed psychologist there. I started working very closely with the poor communities over there, and then when I had a chance to come to the States, I went straight and did my master's and then continued into my doctoral program. So I was highly motivated and very, very focused on always working with Latino mental health, especially with the unserved populations. Like, the poorer, the better for me. Mm-hmm. So it's always been everything research-oriented or counseling-oriented that I do is focused on, it has a focus on Latino mental health. Mm-hmm. So it comes from way back then.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been doing that for several years now, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's been 12 years in the States, and 4 years in Peru.
Wow.
So 16 years, yeah.
That's incredible. Good for you.
Thank you. I like it.
Yeah. It has its, I would imagine, challenges because of working with a population that generally does not... It's not prone to going and getting counseling services when something is going. Yeah. So what do you find is the most challenging with working with a Latina population?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That's a very good observation you made. I think there are a couple of things that, we cannot put everyone on the same bucket, right? So I don't want to offend anyone that is Latino that is listening to us, of course. But we're going to talk about, like, general statistics or general populations. But you can also divide Latinos, like in any other groups, through their social economical status. So I think it depends, because when you're talking about providing counseling or providing therapy services for Latinos that are, let's say, more affluent or more acculturated to the country, the ones that have, like, really nice jobs and they're making good money and, you know, can pay for private practitioners to provide them with services, it's pretty different. So the population that I concentrated the most is especially on family counseling and child and adolescent counseling, but working with the population of Latinos that have a very low SES. Both cultural populations regarding Latinos, what they do share is their values and most of their beliefs. So you hit it on the spot. They're usually they don't come to therapy for services. So I started getting involved very with the more difficult populations that were sent to counseling basically forced or mandated by the court system. And then, you know, like it progressed. So right now I work with an agency that focuses mostly on community mental health. So everything is geared towards the community, but we try to help families stay together, basically. So they can have an open case with the Department of Child Protective Services, or they might be already have lost their children. They're trying to get them back. Sometimes I do get some more affluential families, which are the ones that have either adopted or are in the process of adopting or fostering children that are involved within the system. So I can also work with both populations as well.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like you work with a wide array of clients.
Yes.
Yeah, which I would imagine would be pretty exciting, because you don't get bored, you know, with working with the same population. You have your different nuances within each population, correct?
Correct, absolutely. And it is a lot of fun in general, and absolutely never boring, always interesting, because I specialize on family work. So to me, like, the more people in a family, the better. So every person is its own little world as well. So you have to take them as individual, and then you put them together as a family to see how they work. And I get all the area of services. Right now I have kids from 8 months old to 16 years old, you know, including the parents. Mostly the moms are the ones that come, some fathers as well. But it's very interesting. So you have to be able to manage different kinds of sets of skills to be able to work with all of them at once.
Yes, I would imagine that would be pretty challenging at times.
Yes, especially when they start fighting.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, I know. I've sat with some families and stuff too, and just trying to just watch the dynamics between the different family members, and trying to get a good grasp of what goes on at home, so that you can see, you know, almost raw emotions sometimes coming out. And then you can really help them, because you see what truth they are living in front of your eyes.
Absolutely, yeah. And you have to, you know, treat them all with the same respect and courtesy, give them all the same time to talk, try to understand everyone's points of view. So, yeah, it's pretty challenging.
So because some of your families coming in is court mandated, do you feel that it's you have to work extra hard at the beginning to get them to trust you and start opening up, and not have like a negative attitude that they're here because the court has sent them here?
Yes, absolutely. Or that I am part of the court system, or that I am the social worker. So we have to clarify our roles, and I do have to work really hard on helping them understand that I am on their side. You know, like I also work as an advocate for them, so I try to help them to get all the services they need. Like I am the medium between the social worker, the courts, and the families. But it's really, you know, like at the beginning, it's very hard for them to absolutely trust us. You know, so we have to explain confidentiality very well to help them understand that we're not, you know, like going to go behind their backs and going and share all the information with the other professionals that are involved in the case. We explain what releases of information are, and like how do we manage to keep the information private. You know, like we say, what are the things that we definitely have to report, the things that we don't have to report. So it takes a little while for them to build rapport with us. The good thing is that because I work through the Department of Mental Health with an agency that contracts with the Department of Mental Health, I work with Counseling for Kids, they give us, you know, like almost a month to assess. So that helped us get a good sense of the family, and for the family to get to know us as well a little bit for like a whole month before we even start treatment.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unusual. Because, and how many sessions in general do you get to have with the families?
Well, this is the other beautiful thing. I think I cannot afford the kind of therapy that I provide for my kids.
Isn't that ironic?
Like you're getting managed. I know, right? That's why we tell the family, take advantage of it, because you're getting the best of everybody's world. Mm-hmm. We work in multidisciplinary teams. You know, we have psychologists on staff. We have our case managers on staff. We have psychiatrists on staff. So they get a little bit of everything, not just us. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, it's pretty, it depends on each family. Like I'm not within, we're still managed care, but it works differently, because as long as we can justify functional impairment, or as long as the symptoms are still present and the family still needs our help to get better, we can stay. Usually, most of the programs that we work with now that are more geared towards what we call prevention and early intervention, they use a time frame between 4 months and 6 months. However, we can keep them up to a year if there is still functional impairment or if you have the training to go between different programs or if there is a big need or big crisis. Mm-hmm. But that is great. You know, it's not that we have to, like, kick a family out in 12 families or 16 sessions. I'm sorry, in between 12 and 16 sessions. That
right.
is usually how insurance pays.
It is.
We have the luxury of seeing them for, like, 6 months to a year.
Wow. It can really make an impact within that time frame then. You know, and to
and
help
that's
them,
why I stay with this population, yeah.
Yeah, and to actually help them change their lives and get them hopefully on the path of stability and change.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, like, the thing that I always use is, like, okay, I understand that a court is mandating you to come to us, you know, because they're upset. I empathize a lot with the families because these families really lose themselves in the process because they imagine, like, having in your home, you know, like, you don't have your freedom as much anymore because you have a social worker that comes once a month to check on you and to report everything that you might be doing that is not appropriate. You have a therapist that comes 1 to 2 times a week. You have the judge deciding the future of your children and your family. So they're pretty scared. You know, they don't know what to say. They don't know what not to say. They don't know what to do or what not to do anymore. And many families share that commonality where they tell me, you know, like, I am judged all the time. I'm scrutinized all the time. So it's hard for them at the beginning to trust us. So we go in and we can really make a... I help them by saying, okay, so I understand that you have all these people coming into your life. How do we get rid of them? It's like, what do you need to do? What does the judge want you to do for you to be able to go back and get your whole freedom, for you to be able to go back and make your own decisions? And that's when they see, okay, so she's not on that side. So she's in my side. And I'm like, yes, let's create your goal. You know, let's see how can we help you. Let's see what do you need. And really explaining to them what mental health is or like how can therapy actually help them.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are not their friends, because that's the other thing. Latinos are awesome in the sense that, you know, I have parents that are always asking me, you know, like, especially now that I'm pregnant, if I ate well, like if I need something, you know, like.
They want to take care of you, make you part of their family.
Correct.
You
go,
it's beautiful,
especially
but...
I go to their home, so I do home visits. Mm-hmm. So they... Some, you know, for the little kids, they see you as part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if I'm staying, I sometimes stay in the house for up to 3 hours at a time. So it's like, you know, they see me for 3 hours every single week for 6 months.
Wow.
So it's a different kind of relationship, you know, and you still have to explain to them how come is that we're not friends, how come is that we cannot go outside and, you know,
right.
Have a cup of coffee. But it's I love it because I, you know, being Latina myself, like it become pretty easy to understand where the line is of like what are your ethics and professional boundaries and like how you can still be providing those values of familism and respeto and everything to them, you know, where like the families that, you know, like they tell you, you want a cup of coffee, sure, you know, or like now that I'm pregnant, you want tea, and like awesome, you know, and it shows, you know, when they care as well, you care as much as they care for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful experience. I love it.
That's great. Yeah, and you can become close in a sense, but you're right. You have to know where to put a healthy boundary between
right.
you and your clients. And you know, I was working in a domestic violence shelter for about 3 years, and I became close with some of the families, too. But we unfortunately only got to work with them for a month. And then they were going to either, you know, families, houses, or transitional shelters, or something like that. So we had to do quick work with them, mm-hmm. which that's very tricky, as you know. I'm sure
yeah.
you've had a lot of situations where you've had to do that. So it's nice that you get that almost luxury time with your clients.
Correct.
And
yeah, I don't know if I'm going to private practice after all this.
So, Dr. Jones, what kind of issues do the families come in with, especially with their court mandated? What's some of the general issues?
Well, it's more like most of the times it's the families. I mean, the families that I usually deal with are the families that have had some of their parental rights removed, or that they are at risk of getting their parental rights removed. So they have either engaged in some kind of abuse towards their children, or most of the cases that we have are neglect, like severe neglect, or where the kids have witnessed domestic violence, or they have one or both parents engaging into dangerous behaviors or risky behaviors like substance abuse, mm-hmm. or, you know, one of those kinds of things, or they're not properly functioning, they're not able to take care of the kids. So that is like a pretty common one. And on the other side of the Latino population, one of the things that we do see the most are, you know, like anxiety, depression, a lot of that. Parenting issues. I specialize on parenting, so I see a lot of parenting issues and behavioral issues with the kids. So that's a big one. And that's a common one with almost every single ethnicity. But it's pretty hard for a Latino community because they're used to going with these questions to their family members. Mm-hmm. You know, like they usually don't want a therapist coming over to tell them how they parent their child. They usually grab, you know, like their moms or the grandmas or their priests or their pastors, you know, or their chamanes, or depending on what ideas they have or what spiritualism they follow, that's what they usually do. Like I have a lot of families that come with anxiety-like symptoms, but they don't like to talk about it in those terms. Mm-hmm. So I don't. So you really have to be very multiculturally oriented and competent towards understanding those things, because if you start explaining to them what depression and anxiety is, like they don't like it necessarily.
Right.
So when you go with other terminologies, they say, yeah, that's what's going on with me. And they tell you who are the first people that they went to see because of that, which is, that is usually like, how do I integrate their cultural background or their personal beliefs into mental health, mm-hmm. which is a tricky one.
Right. So, yeah. Dr. Jones, after the commercial, I'd like to come back and talk about multi-generational habits.
Oh, great.
Of you know, integrating the mental health along with probably some pretty traditional and long-standing parenting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. We'll be right back.
No problem.
The Chicago School of Professional Psychology offers numerous psychology, behavioral, and health-related science graduate degrees at three campuses: Los Angeles, California, including branches in Westwood and Irvine, Chicago, Illinois, and Washington, D.C., and online. The Chicago School prepares students to meet the ever-changing mental health needs of society through classroom experience and real-world training. The Chicago School Counseling Centers in Irvine and Westwood provide caring, confidential, and affordable psychological services to individuals and their families. For more information, visit thechicagoschool.edu.
And thank you to the Chicago School of Professional Psychology for sponsoring Psych One-on-One. This is Julianne Good, and I am with Dr. Nadia Jones. We are talking about Latino and Latina mental health this evening. And Dr. Jones, we're going to talk about the multi-generational impact of parenting in families.
Yeah. That's a really good topic. You know, if you think about everything that immigrants go through in general, and you talk about multi-generational and how they got to where they are, like most of us, you know, they have come here one way or another. So Latinos have their own, you know, like sad history on how did they get here. Not everyone is super lucky enough to either be born here, but they have been brought here, or they were born here, but their parents suffer all the immigration issues. So, you know, like if you even want to go harder on that, you can see all the kids that are in refugee camps right now, basically, here down in San Diego, you know, or right here in Oxnard, all the kids that are in those concentration places because they keep crossing the borders by themselves, little kids, which is, you know, it's pretty hard.
Yes.
And they're just trying to find their parents, you know, that came here one way or another, so they just follow. some kids that run away from their parents and just come here. And then you have the whole families, you know, that came here, or the Latinos that came originally. But if you really focus on tracking their history and through their multicultural generational patterns, you have to start asking, like, how is that your family got here? So I love that question. And I always put it into my assessment. How is that they got here? Not because I want to check if they're legal or illegal at all, mm-hmm. but it's because I do want to assess for how much have they suffered coming here, if any. You know, like, how hard has it been for them to adjust to the country? Did they came with coyotes? Did they cross the border nicely? Did they actually have to walk for 3 to 5 days? I have families that came from, like, way down in South America, and they go, like, country to country to country until they get to Mexico, and then they're finally able to cross. You know, so those are, like, weeks and months of trying to get here. And then when they get here, they sometimes don't know anybody. They really don't have any contacts, but they have had some family members. Then, you know, they have to figure out how are they going to live all together. So you have to start there. And then you have the families that already have been adjusted here or acculturated to the country, and that are able to bring their kids in different situations. So whichever family you're working with is always going to have their own story. So you have to start from there, like asking those hard questions and giving their whole history, mm-hmm. you know, based on that. And then you can start figuring out, okay, now we can get to how do your parents raise you?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and like, how was it?
Multi-layered and complicated.
Correct.
And
correct.
It's great that you have that 1 month time period to get to know them and start getting that history as they start feeling comfortable with you. And
yeah.
like you said, when they start realizing that you're not going to be turning them in, you're not going to be getting them into trouble, you just want them to be healthier and you want their family to be back intact again, because it's, mm-hmm. it's, I mean, after going through all that country jumping almost, I mean, from running from country to country, trying to flee and trying to go towards a better life. Mm-hmm. And then they get here and then, you know, something happens. It's a completely different legal system.
Absolutely. They're used to, like, you know, like in most of the, like, in the Latino countries that I visit, I mean, and the ones that I am from, or the ones that I hear stories, like, hitting is, it's common, you know, like, not beating up your child completely, but hitting with a belt is common, you know, mm-hmm. like, so there are certain kind of very harsh punishment that they engage in that is very common to their culture, to their surroundings, you know, it's very different, yelling, cursing, different kinds of parenting your kid, you know, other families, they are very patriarchal, you know, like, they usually, like, it's like the mom will say, like, wait until your dad comes here. And, you know, once the dad comes, like, disciplines all the children or other families that are absolutely matriarchal. So it's very interesting, you know, like, who has the big voice in the family. Some families, which I found fascinating, it's the families that a whole bunch of different generations live together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually have to be making kind of friends with the grandparents, because they are the ones that have the last word.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to be able to figure out all these kinds of systems that are going on underneath. And, you know, like all the generations, how do they really work together? How much they influence each other? How much in contact are they with each other? So that's a whole different layer on itself. And it's fascinating, you know?
Yes, I'd imagine. And, well, and working with a more patriarchal system also than we're used to in the general culture in the United States. And that's, you know, different levels of power. And then I've seen this happen too, where somehow the family is split up. Mom mm-hmm. is with the children, dad is in another country, maybe back in Mexico. And that, so mom is used to having the role of mother and father, mm-hmm. and then maybe having to take care of her parents also on top of
as
it.
Well.
And
yeah.
then somehow the husband/father comes back into the picture, and there's this whole disarray of the power system mm-hmm. and their marriage. Do
yeah.
you work with those systems?
As well, indeed. Yes. Yeah, and it's a whole different way of treating them, you know, and then what happens once that he inserts himself or herself into the family. You know, he wants to pull different kinds of roles, and the children get, you know, a whole bunch of adjustment disorders because of it. A whole bunch of anxiety generates in the family, a whole bunch of behavioral issues start coming afloat in the family. And it's very hard sometimes to explain these things to them, because for them it's usually a given. You know, like American culture or European-centered cultures, they are more used to talking about mental health. They're more used to talk about the psychological impact of things. You know, Latinos, many of them are not. For them, this is not the way you talk to them. So that's another thing. You know, like they want you to tell them what to do, instead of come up with their own questions. But then sometimes even when you provide suggestions or like explain what has worked for all the different families, it doesn't match their cultural beliefs. So that makes things even more complicated. So you have to figure out ways of explaining them things in a way that they're going to want to hear them. You know, especially in that way, because, you know, like with those parents, that the father is slash husband that comes around, he wants things to get done his way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's interesting, like most of the families that work in that way, the mom is a little bit more submissive. So the problem is if the person stayed here and started obtaining services and got a little bit more assertive, and then they're facing each other, you know, and they need help to readjust again. To being a couple, to being a whole different system. So, yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it does sound fascinating. And like I said before, just really complicated, because you're working with two completely different worlds, mm-hmm. almost, you know? I mean, and then when they go out to society here, you know, they're seeing families and couples interacting differently, and that there has to be this dichotomy going on with them a lot of time, I would imagine. So how do you work with that? How do you get them to be comfortable with making the adjustment and honoring their culture from their country they came in with, but yet maybe assimilating a little bit more to the United States so that they have a little bit of an easier transition, and they can, you know, just learn to be, you know, part of the neighborhood that they live in, and part of the city, start, you know, becoming an American?
Yeah, it's a good question, you know, and it's something that, thank God, we can have the luxury of working for months.
Yes.
Which if I were in private practice, I would have to do like in 2 or 3 weeks, or like they would have to start paying me on the side, which that part is horrible to me. But I personally, we in all these agents, beautiful system of community mental health and agency contractors through DMH, we have the luxury, if you're competent, of working with them in a whole different way. So I always tell my interns and the students that I work with on practical that one of the things that they really need to learn to do and focus and master are their assessment skills. So to me, it's all about assessment, providing psychoeducation, and engaging the family, you know, really helping them understand that you're interested in getting to know them, mm-hmm. to understand where they're coming from. So I spend months just exploring that, like just exploring all those things that you just mentioned, like exploring how was it before for the mom, you know, like helping the dad just arrived, like if we take that hypothetical example, helping him understand what did the mom have to go through all the time that he was not here,
mm-hmm.
you know, or every time that he got deported, all the systems that got in between, like helping him really to provide psychoeducation and helping him understand her point of view. And, of course, with the respect that he deserves, because you always have to put him first.
Right.
That's the thing. So it's very tricky on how you talk to them in that way. And then to him, you know, like absolutely validating the fact of how hard it was for him to leave his family, you know, and like going over there and taking charge from there, like, you know, like try to figure things out until figure out how to come back into the country, you know. And then you provide a lot of psychoeducation into how this American system works. You know, what do they want from people? What do they request people to do? What are their responsibilities within the country to be able to stay in the country without getting into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of like make it seem that it's not on you. You know, it's really on them and trying to understand how things work so they can learn to navigate them. And then I have this wonderful training that the county provided me on Triple P, which is a positive parenting program that I am absolutely in love with, and I'm extremely biased because I think it's one of the best parenting programs out there because of how you engage with the parents. It allows you to really see their history on how, what kind of parenting techniques and communication they have used within each other, how do they deal with anger management, how do they deal with their own coping skills, and then you're able to provide them with new ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, that work here, but that you can tailor to their families. So, you know, you always tell them, you know, that things don't work with everybody, you know, so we have to figure out what is going to work with them. And if they have two or three kids, one thing that works with one kid is not going to work with the other kids. Like how he communicates with mom, mom might have had to communicate in a completely different way with him.
Right.
And again, all of this taking into consideration the hierarchy that they use and their values, you know, and when you can talk and when you cannot talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really cool to do that kind of work. But honestly, because we have the luxury of time with them, which
yeah.
is wonderful.
Yeah, and you can get a complete history and
mm-hmm.
start almost walking in that family's shoes and seeing exactly what they need and exactly where they are. And that is really the best therapy to be able to do, is just
yeah.
to be able to walk in their shoes for a little bit. Let's see exactly what this is, what's going to work, because as you said, what will work for even just one child within the same family won't work with another child. You have to be mm-hmm. able to switch gears, and you have to be able to teach them how can you be a little more flexible and
yeah.
yet still honor where you came from.
Yes, yes, which is super important. And you know what sometimes saddens me, and I work really hard on continuing to get extra training and continuing to read and continuing to try to understand these families. And I have had really great supervisors in this country and mentors, you know, that have helped me, then have guided me. But I also have my own experience of growing up over there. So you can see things in three ways. You know, like I can see things of how things used to be in each of my countries. I can relate to the process of immigration, and then I can relate to the process of adjusting here and have to figure out a different way of being, basically, or functioning here.
Yeah.
And sometimes, many times, actually, unfortunately, not everybody works with the Latinos on the same way. You cannot treat Latinos like you can like you treat other ethnicities. Like, every ethnicity has their own ways of working. You know, like, anyway,
That's
you cannot treat Latinos in general with providing just general therapeutic services based only on Western therapy, which is how we are taught in school.
Yes.
You know, you have to find ways to become more multiculturally competent so that you can actually treat them, that you can understand the cultural beliefs that they might have. You know, like I honestly have had to learn a lot, but I've been influenced by it, honestly, myself. But I have learned, I work with different kinds of populations. I mean, I work with Mexicans. I have met a whole bunch of Peruvians here as well, but most of the population that I see are Mexicans, Salvadoranians, Guatemalans, a little bit of Peruvian, as I said. I work with Puerto Ricans as well. So it's very interesting. Like, it's mostly Central America. It's harder to get the South American one because most of the immigrants in California are from Central America. But each of their little, each of their countries have their own belief system, you know, their own religion, their own spirituality, their own ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I include all that in my assessment. I mean, we're talking about things that you might have not ever heard, so please tell me if you need explanation on each. This could take us another hour.
Yeah, it sounds like that. That would be a fascinating program to do just on its own. Just the differences between all the people that you mentioned from the different countries,
mm-hmm.
and the differences between Central Americans and Southern Americans.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever you want. It's like working with people from the Midwest and people from L.A.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just like that.
Yeah, two different sets of creatures, yes.
Yeah, and sometimes you really need to be able of not being afraid of asking questions. Like,
exactly.
I work with people on, like, talking about witchcrafting, shamanism, Salvadores, like things that they in their country sometimes engage in, these practices, these cultural practices or spiritual practices or indigenous beliefs, as we call it. Mm-hmm. And I have to integrate them into my mental health. I have tons of colleagues that they have never explored these kinds of areas.
That's
important. And I can tell you a whole bunch of cases in another program if you want of how these have come together. And it's a part that personally fascinates me.
Yes.
Because that shows, I mean, like sometimes how you want to put them all in the same bag. You want to treat them, okay, so you have a client that has depression, you go into CBT, this is what you do, these are the things. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You need to bring up their cultural heritage into it. You know, same thing for other disorders. So you can't treat them all in the same way.
Exactly.
So you need to get further training.
Yeah. And spirituality is so important, is so important. Dr. Jones, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, I'd love to talk to you about the Latino Mental Health Certification Program at the Chicago School that you're going to be teaching this month.
No problem.
Are you searching for answers and insight to life issues? Is the behavior of family or friends questionable or concerning? Find tips and possible solutions from the convenience of your own PC, cell phone, or tablet at therapycable.com. Therapy Cable has the most comprehensive library of contemporary therapy videos online. Help may be as easy as a few clicks away. Therapy Cable offers comprehensive therapy videos ranging from addiction to self-care and contact information for qualified providers. Find the answers to your life challenges at therapycable.com.
And welcome back to Psych 101 with Julianne Good and Dr. Nadia Jones. And again, I'd like to thank Nico Schmier. That was another one of his compositions. So you're going to be hearing much more of his music on my show. So thank you again, Nico. And Dr. Jones, as I was asking before the break, can you explain what you're doing with the Latino Mental Health Certification Program at the Chicago School?
Yes, I can, but I wanted to say that's really nice music, FYI.
Yeah. Nico's great.
I like that. Yeah, that's cool. But, you know, because I was putting a lot of emphasis on the importance of clinicians, especially clinicians and trainees, people that is getting into the profession, students that are just getting into their practicums, or people that is out there already practicing and they work with a lot of Latinos, it's very important for all of us to stay not only grounded, but also multiculturally competent. I really like the term competency. And I don't ever think that a professional in our field stops learning.
Yes, true.
So you should always try to find ways of get more certifications, more trainings, more workshops, more this, more that, especially new topics that can provide you with a better area to either market yourself in a different way, or simply because they are truly going to help you to get tools so that you can provide more competent services to the population. So I am core faculty at the Chicago School. I work in the LA campus and the Irvine campus. And on the Irvine campus now, we are going to start offering a certification on Latino mental health. So it's a really, really great program, which what we're doing is offered to really everybody that is out there practicing in the community, you know, either through their private practices or they're like me in community mental health, or they're about to get or they're interested in getting into community mental health or like to work with the Latinos more in depth, people that is professional psychologists, social workers, MFTs, MAs, whichever kind of therapeutic congregation that is actually looking to get their C units or their CEs, if they're psychologists, on, because we all have to for our licensing. Students that are already in practicum or they're about to be in practicum or they are already getting out of practicum and becoming trainees or interns, I'm sorry, or registered psychologist assistants or social workers assistants, you know, like for anyone that is on those phases of their career, we're providing this program. So it's open. So you don't have to be a student necessarily with a Chicago school. It's okay. Open for everyone out there, which I think is very great. And what we're doing is provide monthly classes. So every class is 4 hours, and it's twice a month. So it's going to run on Saturdays for people that work so that they can be able to go, you know, and attend the workshop. And it's going to have some homework, you know, because we don't want to just offer a workshop where you go and you actually just sit and listen or not listen and get your certificate on your CEUs because you're paying the money. We want people that is engaged in working with the community, that wants to talk, that wants to participate, that is going to engage in discussions, that is going to get something out of the program. Mm-hmm. So if sometimes you don't have money to like go back and do a master's degree or like do a doctoral program, but you want to get a certification on something, this is a great one because then it's all focused we have 6 classes. And they're all different doctoral professors. I teach actually the 4th month. I teach the community mental health month. But we have great classes. You know, we have Dr. Gonzalez teaching political and ideology. Then we have Dr. Nichiro teaching assessment, you know, interventions. Then we have another professional, Dr. Kanu, who the names might seem irrelevant. I just like them. Working on diagnosis skills. You know, then I come with community mental health. I have Dr. Navarro talking on Latino gender issues, which is a great topic as well. And then we finish with gerontology. So we're going in different areas. We're going in depth for 1 month. And then to the people that complete the 6 months, we'll give them their certification so that they can have their little specialty, you know, working with this kind of population. So our goal as a university and as an institution is to provide that services out there to the community, you know, to everyone that wants to come over and get more specialized in working with Latinos. They can come actually at any time during the year, because the idea that we have is that, I mean, the cohorts will meet for 6 months, but if you didn't have money on that month or for circumstances you couldn't register for the whole 6 months, you can start again at a different time. if there is enough people to open them. That's the thing, you know.
Okay.
But we offer a discount. Like, if they register for the 6 months, then we offer a discount to them, so that they can get the 6 months at once, and they can do it at their own time and at their own pace. Or we, you know, like, if people just want to pay it monthly and they want to get just the CUs for that month, they can do that too. So I think it's a great way for people to save money in degrees, but get some specialty and some multicultural competency in a specific area.
Right, and it's so
population.
Yes, and it's so important, especially in Southern California, to get that specialization, so you really know the different nuances of working with Hispanics and Latinos, Latinas.
Correct.
Whatever country that they're from, at least you know the basic groundwork of working with a client.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're able to walk in their shoes a little bit easier and understand what they're going through.
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, we really want to help the community to understand these different topics. Like, I wasn't taught any of that in school. You know, not here, not there. Like, not on my master's, not on my doctoral. So we're always learning how we can improve our programs. And this is a great opportunity, you know, to have a whole bunch of people that's interested in working with the Latino community and discuss the kind of issues that they're facing out there. And, you know, you have a professional that's going to be, that specialized on that specific topic, to help you figure things out, to help you see how you can work with that specific community.
And
so
be compassionate.
I'm really liking this idea.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's great. Now, the Saturday classes, the first one is starting this Saturday, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And what time?
It starts at 9 a.m. in Irvine.
Okay.
Yeah, and so people still have time to register, so that would be great. The only thing, you know, like, every month we do have to have enough people to start it. So if we don't have enough people for the month, then we usually pass them to the other month and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually interested in taking this. So if you could...
Oh, go ahead.
Yes. So if you could give all of us the contact information on how we can register for this class this coming Saturday.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I think maybe the easier way will be for them to contact me, because I can just give them the... pass them all the flyers, because we have like a flyer with all the description of each class. And what do they focus on, which are the dates and everything. So they can email me anytime they want. That might be the easier thing. My email is not as easy, so bear with me. It's N Rojas Jones, which is spelled as N as in Nancy, R-O-J-A-S-J-O-N-E-S, at the chicagoschool.edu. Or they can also call me on my phone, you know, like either on my office phone or my cell phone. I'm trying to get my, I don't know if you have handy my office phone.
That's I do, and I will give that number out right now.
Oh, I have it.
Doctor.
That's the hardest one to get, because they just switched my office number. But my cell phone, which I'm more than happy to give to people, is 323-510-1203. So again, 323-510-1203. And then my office phone, it's 213-283-4230. Again, 213-283-4230. So more than happy to, explain to them the program more in detail, or show them what we have to offer. But I think it's a great, great experience. They can also go through the Chicago School website, and they can find us there. Or if they go to... if they go to our continuing education department through our website, it will link them directly to the certification program, which is great as well.
Okay. It does sound wonderful, and sounds like it's going to be very informative for a lot of people. So I highly recommend that.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Jones, as we are wrapping up, is there anything else that you would like to state about... working with a Latino and Latina population that kind of came to mind, but you really didn't hit on during our conversation?
No, I'm just kidding. mostly, you know, to ask people out there, even to the people that is working on the field already that listen to your beautiful show, or the people that just hear us because they love radio, you know, like if you think about it, if you are Latino, like, and sometimes you have had things that happen to you and you don't know who to talk to, you can always call us, you know, like, and us, I mean therapists. Like, if you go to places like Psychology Today offers a great website, but also, like, go through universities, try to find people that is out there. If you have access to medical, there is so many services that you can get with professionals like myself and all my colleagues that are more than happy to try to help you out succeed, you know, and to the people that is working with Latinos, to just remind them that, you know, like, if you are Latino yourself, always to remember where you're coming from. And if you tell me that you're from here, then ask the question again to yourself, you know, because you're really not only from here. You're an area from different places. So you need to remember that. You know, like, ask your parents what was their experience growing up, and then link it to other things so you can able to treat your population in a different way. That, to me, is the most important part, you know, like, that you cannot put people in one little basket. Like, right. It's that saying that goes for every single thing, right? Don't put all your eggs in a basket. Don't put all your clients in a basket. Don't put all the Latinos in a basket. Try to understand people in general as they come to you, you know, like, and hopefully, unless you're really into managed care when you can only have 14 sessions to see them, hopefully you will have the time to really get to know them and understand them. And sometimes, believe it or not, that is the treatment that impacts them the most, that you're trying to provide techniques every single time to try to get things to work better. Sometimes they only need to be heard and understood. Exactly. And they already have enough resources and tools to be able to work themselves. You just need to help them, to give them that push so they can find it. So, you know, hopefully we inspire little people here to get some counseling, which is always awesome. You know, we go together, we're tune-ups all the time. We have supervision all the time. We have therapy all the time because he helps us, you know. Mm-hmm. When you're saying that you don't have any problem, then you do have a problem.
Right. Exactly. Don't be in denial. That's the moral to the story.
Correct. For every ethnicity, you know, not just the Latinos.
Exactly. We all have our troubles to have to work through in this lifetime, but it is so marvelous to be able to work through them, get stronger, and grow from them.
Yeah, we're pretty blessed to do what we do.
Yes, we are.
Pretty awesome.
I highly agree. You know, you were such a pleasure to have on, and I certainly hope that I can have you come on again for part two of this conversation.
No problem. That would be fun. Let's talk about all the brujería and rituals. Those are fun.
That would be beautiful. I would love to do that. I'm going to give you a little time here, though, and when you're ready, just contact me. It sounds like you got your hands full right now.
Let me know when you're bored and call me.
I'm sure you're never bored.
Oh, it's great. It's a great topic of conversation and discussion.
Well, you were a delight, Dr. Jones. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
And thank you so much for tuning into Psych One-on-One. I really appreciate that you're coming back and getting some more information. If you would like to contact me, my email is jgoode8@verizon.net. And like me on Facebook at Psych One-on-One, PSYCH One-on-One. And if you would like to come in therapy, in-have therapy, or check me out on Psychology Today, I have my bio there. I would love to talk to you. I'd love you to contact me anytime with any issue. And my phone number also is 562-234-4650. And I really appreciate that you're coming back. And also, if you would like to pull up archives, we are at skidrowstudios.com and on iTunes Store at Psych One-on-One. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Thank you again, Mr. Nico Schmier.